Welcome everyone to the Sports Review, and I hope everyone's had a great Easter. Now, the Sports Review is proudly sponsored by Westprint, a fantastic printing company. They're based at 9 Pereira Street in Newlyn, and their phone number is 09 827 8531, or if you want to give them an email, www.westprint.co.nz for all your printing needs. They push the boundaries, as I try and do on this show, but unfortunately get rained in quite a bit. But anyway, we've got a good show lined up. We'll be speaking a bit of NRL with Bluey McClenahan. We'll be doing a bit of football with Ricardo Ball and former All-White Noel Barkley. No McNeice today. Claims he's got the flu, more like a hangover, but I won't say that. And we've got a different panel. Mark Watson is away, so we will have Starsky and Hutch with Hamish McKay and Sean Summerfield. But we kick it off as we always do on a Monday, and it's great. He wasn't here. He was at a function last week. Charity function speaking, but it's always good to have him. Happy Easter to former All Black great AJ Whetton. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Biggie. Happy Easter to you. I hope you were spoiled. Had a few Easter eggs, mind you, that frame of yours. I don't know if it could take a few more eggs, mate, but anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah. The cameras really didn't really look good on me, actually, AJ. I have to...
didn't do you any favours, eh?
No, not at all, not at all, not at all. In fact, it was a... But I felt I conducted myself fantastically, and you know, a lot of people have compared me to a young Phil Leishman, the late Phil Leishman, as you know. But we won't get into that. Hey, just before we kick into the Super Rugby over the weekend, I just want to grab your opinions. The Silver Lake deal with New Zealand Rugby, which is $465 million, seems to be at a stalemate with the Players Association. My views are on it, AJ, is that we need the money for the survival of the game, not only at the top level but at grassroots rugby. I do understand where Rob Nichols and the Players Association are coming from, but you know, I personally feel we need that money, AJ, because it could be for the survival of New Zealand rugby.
Yeah, look, there's always two sides to the story. Look, I've followed it bits and pieces. In the end, look, we're not going to be making the decision, you or me, but that's a hell of a lot of money, and I guess if it just goes to the right places, Piggy, we'll all be wrapped in. You mentioned club rugby, community rugby, and the services around it to keep the people involved in this great game that gives us an advantage around the rest of the world. So I hope the right call's made for the right reasons. Yeah, I won't get into it. I have my opinions on the professional game, and
yes, same as me,
the Player Association has their own, as everyone else does. So hopefully wise heads come to it and there's a bigger picture, not sometimes about pay packets, but I'll just leave it there.
I wasn't going to get there, but because I'll be speaking with Hamish McKay about this a bit later, and Sean Summerfield, and I've got no doubt they'll have some opinions. I think both of them know my opinions, and AJ, you'd know where I would where I'd be shooting from, is because, well, which may not agree with the general public and the Players Association, but you know, I'm all for the game at grassroots level, as you are too, AJ. So hey, we better get into the Super Rugby.
Yep.
Positive stuff. Now, it's positive for the Highlanders. What an absolute hell of a week the Highlanders had. Yeah, six players suspended for a party, not at Tony Brown's place, but they turned it around, and weren't they fantastic? 33-12 in Christchurch over the Crusaders. Mitch Hunt, along with Faletau Fakatava, leading it, and a superb Highlanders pack leading the charge.
Yeah, I think there would have been a lot of surprises, none more so than the people who turned up at Orange Theory. Look, I think if there was a game that they were going to turn the tables, this could have been it. Backs against the wall, as you mentioned, six were stood down for breaking team protocol. One thing about Tony Brown, you don't mess with him, and he makes a call, he sticks with it. And we always thought off the bench they would have some struggles. Well, they certainly put that to bed. What a magnificent game. Right from the outset, I think they just came at the Crusaders, unsettled them, and really, not a 40-minute performance, 45, this was a 90-minute performance, one that we hadn't seen from any of the teams so far in the competition, Piggy, and you mentioned it. Mitch Hunt, well, he had probably one of his better games. And, should we say, about time, we know the guy's got talent.
Yeah.
He just needs to show it a bit more consistently. ably serviced by Whakatawa, provided a lot of energy, and of course with Aaron Smith coming on, just closed it out so well. I thought the boy Billy Harmon had a cracker of a game in the forwards.
Yep.
He was really into everything, stole a couple of balls. The front row stood up, they were under some pressure. Even the big locks, obviously Ash Dixon leading the way again. But look, just a great effort from the pack, because really, that's where you start and that's where they finished, and they really put the squeeze on the Crusaders. And really, 33-12, you'd have to say that's a bit of a hiding at Crusaders territory.
Oh, yeah, and I think it probably could have been more, AJ. I have to say, wasn't it great to see Bryn Evans out there, 36 years of age, just playing like he was playing like a 20-year-old out there. Had so much energy.
Well, he had a couple of runs too. He stole a couple from the line-out. Had a little dash here and there, as you said. Some players from the past really stood up. But once again, all credit to the Highlanders, and they just backed themselves, and they played superbly right through from 1 to 23, and pat on the back.
Yeah, I have to say, really, really impressed. And of course, I was happy that they won, because now it actually it opens the competition up a bit more. It means that the teams still have a chance, and of course I believe they've got the Chiefs next week, so that'll be very, very interesting down in Dunedin, because they'll have something to play for. Now we'll move on to the Saturday game. Well, the Blues 27, the Hurricane 17, and I am off at Tungatafasi's 100th game in Super Rugby, which is a great honour for him. He's been a fantastic servant to the Blues, but really one guy, and I'm going to pick it out, who I thought in that loose forward trio is really having stood up the season, is having the season of his life. I think you know who I'm talking about.
No, you tell me.
Dalton Papahalii.
Yeah, look, he had a look. The game, I was out there watching it, of course, and it was a game the Blues had to win. There was no doubt about it. After a couple of stumbles against Crusaders, then of course that match against the Chiefs. Look, a close game. I think they're always on top of the team, but there was a couple of ill-discipline events from the Hurricanes that cost them dearly. You've got a guy like Jody Barrett who can kick the ball 50 metres. He'll punish you. And he showed that several times today. He kept the Hurricanes close, and it was pretty even until that penalty try. Yep, look, I think there'll be a bit of talk about that. Artie Sevilla, from my point of view, and what do I know about rugby, Peggy?
I
thought he was onside. He just came through the middle. But that may have changed the direction of the game. But hats off. Good performance up from Dalton Papaliti. Probably one of his better games or best games I've seen him play for the Blues. A young man that came on the scene with some big reps, probably hasn't had the opportunities or possibly hasn't delivered in a consistent basis. But he certainly delivered on Saturday. And, good game. Good win for the Blues. They needed it. I thought, Fane at second five just provided that extra bit of punch in the back line, Piggy.
Yep.
I think we've been lacking there. A better game by a Terry Black. And, I thought the out wide, Lavia and I only always looked dangerous if they had some space. So, yeah, plenty of excitement. Good result. And I say just a wee bit of ill-discipline. Duplessis, obviously, Kariffi, he's just got to tone it down a bit, I think, because he does cost a few penalties. And, he'll look back and think, there was a couple of moments that I let the team down.
Yeah, and of course, he was actually in that All Blacks training squad. So, All Blacks selectors would be looking at that. And, of course, with Sam Kane confirmed he's out for two to four months. And of course, we have Italy coming over here in Fiji. That's the best we can get for mid-season. Probably. So it's probably a good chance to blood a few players. A lot of saying put Artie Sevilla on the open side. I prefer to keep him back at eight, because that's where I think he's suited. And maybe, maybe give your Papali'i, he's a bit of a go at that. Or maybe if Boshier finally gets on the field, maybe give him his chance. But I
I think if you, you know, if you've got those teams coming over, we know they're not the right up there in the big guns, but yes, an opportunity to blood some. But of course, you want your All Blacks playing. It's just a man management and injuries. But certainly, if you want to extend the squad and see what these guys have got, that'll be the time to see it. But it's just a bit of a shame. Not take anything from Fiji or Italy, but it's certainly not a South Africa or an England, is it? That sort of stirs the old juices. But we'll take what we can in these strange times with COVID. Yeah.
We certainly can. Well, a couple of the games next week are the Crusaders, Hurricanes. I think that will be very, very interesting, especially because it will be in Wellington. So I think, we've got to be... I still think the Hurricanes, they're not quite out yet. And, of course, the Chiefs Highlanders. Well, this is a chance for either team to get back up there to say, hey, we're not out of contention for the final.
No, well, I mean, as I said, that was a big win for the Blues because otherwise everyone would have been on 2 points. Two wins. So, it's opened up with that great win by the Highlanders. And I think it goes to show on your day, any team can take anyone out. You've just got to be on your best if you're taking on the Crusaders. And the Highlanders were. But, great game coming up, I think, this weekend. Crusaders at the Hurricanes, they'll be desperate. And that they have a record of tipping up the Crusaders. So, watch that game. I think she'll be a beauty.
Yeah, we could have an interesting competition when we speak next Monday.
Yeah, and of course,
what I'm looking forward to is I'll be going out to watch a bit of club rugby this Saturday. So I'll be out at university watching the Mighty Eden take on university. And I don't know whether I'm popular at university anymore after some of the comments I've made. So I don't think I'm popular at your club either. So yeah,
you're consistent though, mate.
Oh yeah, I know. On that note, enjoy the rest of your Easter Monday, AJ.
Mate.
And it was great having you back on air. Somebody asked when I made that comment about grammar, which, us two have a bit of a laugh and a bit of a shout, that we had fallen out. I said, far from it. I said, AJ's got great humour. He'd give it back to me. But anyway,
always got a smile on a face when I see you, Biggie, that's for sure.
Well, a lot of people do.
See you, mate.
Bye. That was AJ Wheat. Tell you what, bloody good bloke, actually. We'll play a bit of music and we'll get on to another cracking bloke, and his name is Bluey McLennan. Okay, we'll put on a bit of music.
Stuck on you. Got this feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needed a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed. Stuck on you. Been a fool too long. I guess it's time for me to come on home. Guess I'm on my way. So hard to see that a woman like you could wait around for a man like me. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet FM. And so we get into the NRL part of the show, and of course Warriors went down to the Roosters last night. Nathan Brown just said in the paper maybe they're not at the same class as the Roosters. Possibly not, but there is a lot of things we've got to talk about in the NRL. And as we always do every Monday, one of the real good buggers of rugby league in this country, a fantastic coach and a fantastic bloke, and I hope he's had a good Easter. G'day, Bluey. Happy Easter to you, mate.
Yeah, happy birthday back to you too, Peggy, and all the listeners. Mate, it's been awesome so far.
I tell you what, it's still warm out there. to be honest with you. Anyway, we better get into it, unfortunately. Roosters 32, Warriors 12, really. Nathan Brown just said in the paper that maybe they're not at the same class as the Roosters. I always tend to look at the Roosters and wonder how the hell do they fit all those players under a salary cap, but we won't go there. But the Roosters really did show their class with Tedesco, the Morris brothers, and all those fantastic players. What were some of your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, well, those three players you just named stood out. Tedesco just stresses your defensive line by pushing around the ball all the time, and he's so dangerous and hard to tackle. And the Morris twins, well, like a fine wine, they just get better and better. Both defensively and on attack, they were very, very, very good, sublime. Two different teams, really. Warriors couldn't go up that level, I think. The big thing for the Warriors to improve going forward is their wrestle in the tackle, and that's on attack and defence. I think they need to just get a bit stronger in that area, especially in defence. This helps them set their line, and you know they're lacking from line speed. So if they can improve that, they'll be right in there. But yeah, Roosters are a class ahead at the moment.
Oh, they certainly are, mate. And you can just see the class of Tedesco when he just... And the Morrises, they've been around forever. But, yeah, interesting facts and a bit of concern over the Fenua Blake injury. Looks like he could be out for a number of weeks, so that's a real concern. But hopefully they have the backup when they go to Manly this weekend, because really I think they'll need a good win over Manly, because... You know, even at this early stage, I believe that the pack is already beginning to shoot out. And this is, I know we're only at round four. I'm talking a bit of rubbish here, but I think it is. Well, of course, Penrith kicked off the weekend 46 points to 6 over the Sea Eagles. Really impressed with Brian Teo and kick out. Of course, Nathan Cleary was really fantastic. The Rabbitohs, 38. The Bulldogs, 0. Now, I don't... Bluey, you've coached in the NRL. The Rabbitohs chairman has... the Bulldogs chairman has come out and said the club has... Trent Barrett has the full support of the club. As soon as you hear that, you think, he could be the first coach on the chopping block.
It's never nice when they come out and feel the need to say publicly. But, you know, he's new there, and he's trying to create his roster, getting players. And he's got young Burton coming next year, which is going to be really good.
And O'Carr as well.
He's got Ed O'Carr. And so, you know, they've just got to hang in there. Just with the new rules now... the game's so fast that it can spiral out of control really quickly. And it's also actually putting the players under fatigue. Mm-hmm. We're getting a lot more injuries, and that's sort of another topic and a bit of a debate on that, actually. But, you know, so, you know, for Canterbury, for the Cowboys, you know, and there were little periods there last night that the Warriors were suffering it. They were really fatigued. It's hard, you know, just hanging in there. So there is becoming a divide quite quickly this season in the NRL. You're quickly seeing the top four and what's possibly the eight. And what's good for the Warrior fans is the Warriors ain't too far out of it. You know, there's enough potential there for them to turn it around.
No, you're right there, Bluey. Well, I have to say, and of course the concern is the game is so fast now that there is a lot of injuries, and believe me, a lot of what I see there actually is quite concerning, with some of the injuries are actually quite sickening. Some of the head knocks which have come into the game in the last few years, real concerning. Anyway, the Storm, wow, Ryan Pappenhausen, what a fantastic player, Bluey. Isn't he?
Oh. Yeah, there's that period there, Piggy, you know, in that first half where he was everywhere. And he, you know, his speed, his anticipation, like he's working really hard off the ball. You know, you can see the ball, you know, being the top of your screen, it might have gone out the right edge. And if you pause it, you look, and there he is. And the, you know, in the middle of the screen, 20 metres away, but you can see him getting on his bike, getting ready to push forward for a play that looked like developing into an opportunity, which it did, but he's doing all this pre-work in the background, and, you know, it all come to fruition. Four tries, you know, just an exceptional effort. You know, what a play. You can see Billy Slater's fingerprints all over it, all over the development of Pappenhausen. Wonderful to see a player in such form.
You know, that the Storm know how to find players, and I said it last season, Frank Endicott. Can we find the recruitment officer of the Storm or one of their player scouts, bring him over to the Warriors, tell him he's not allowed to leave until he's find us, and there's five or six players that can help us finally win a premiership. And believe me, whoever is involved, like some of these guys they have working at the Storm in recruitment, they go all around the place. Obviously, with COVID, they'd have a big influence here in New Zealand, but in Queensland and New South Wales, they have huge, huge influence. The Sharks had a good win, 48-10 over the Cowboys. Not looking good for Todd Payton there. Now, I don't know whether to say this. The Raiders 20, the Titans 4.
Yeah, and look, for the Canberra, you know, they really showed they're a top four club. They had a stronger side than, you know, people would have thought they were going to have, or, you know, thought there'd be a couple of injuries, a couple wouldn't play, Ryan James, but they really upped their kick chase game and really took it to the Titans. However, for the Titans, Piggy, I thought, you know, given that they haven't got Ash Taylor and Fogarty, their main half got injured and tried to play through, I thought it was a pretty fair effort. And, you know, I thought out of the teams that have been beat, Titans looked the most likely to bounce back. You know, I thought they created a lot of chances and their defensive system's pretty good. So I think Titans fans should feel like, hey, you know, we get some teams around the middle of the table and maybe below them, they're going to win some games.
They certainly are. And, of course, some of the other games that were before the Warriors games, the Dragons, and they just keep on winning there, and they're pretty consistent. Nobody's been really talking them up at the beginning of the seasons, but they had a 22-13 win over the Knights. Mitchell Pearce, bit of a serious injury there, but for the Dragons, Tarek Sims double, and this guy Lomax, he knows how to kick goals, doesn't he?
He certainly does, and his footy from, you know, fullback, you know, as with all the fullbacks, they've got some wonderful athletes playing fullback in the NRL, and you can just go and watch the number one jerseys and admire their skill. And, yeah, the Dragons they're really physical, they're big. You know, to be without Ben Hunt, I thought Corey Norman was really good. He kept the pace. And, you know, I'm going up to Newcastle too, Piggy, so it's, you know,
yeah, that's
a good
one. That's
Dragons,
actually a really good one.
Well done to the Big Red V.
Yeah, and of course the game today will be the Tigers versus the Eels. I'm picking the Eels to win that one. So we're going to have it. So we move on to next week. The Warriors are at the Sea Eagles, and the Panthers versus the Raiders looks like that's going to be a good game. That looks like a good game. A lot of the games I think will probably go with form, Bluey. But there's the Sunday 8:15 game now. We can either pick that, and I'm going to let you pick first because you need to get a win. You need to get a win on the board, or you can pick the game.
Yeah.
We could try the Bulldog Storm. I'll take the Bulldogs.
if you want to throw a game away, mate, that's up to you. It's a long season.
I was thinking the Eels Dragons.
Okay, and who do you want to go for?
I'm going to go for the Dragons, mate.
Sweet, mate. No problem at all.
Yep, cool. And hopefully we can get one on the board for you, Bluey, and then mid-season review, yeah. Which we'll definitely have to sink a few nice brown ales and talk a bit of rugby league and tell a few lies.
Sounds good to me.
Hey, Bluey, mate, it's always great having you on, mate. Have to say that I'm looking forward to next week, and hopefully I'm actually looking to extend. Hopefully we can talk more when we head into the Rugby League World Cup against in England this year, which I hope is still going to go ahead, Blue.
Oh, same, you know, like, just for the whole world, just, you know, getting that freedom that we've been lucky to have down under in New Zealand. You know, we got the old Fred Dagg used to sing, you know, we don't know how lucky we are, and, man, it's true. The world can... We can open up and travel around. It's going to be great for everyone.
It certainly will. Of course, the Rugby League World Cup this year. You know, I think the Pacific Island nations may have a lot to say in this Rugby League World Cup. Nations like not only Tonga, but Fiji, if they, you know, some of the talent that's in the NRL from Fiji there, they could be a real threat in that Rugby League World Cup.
Certainly, and they've been in the semi-finals a couple of times now.
They actually knocked out the Kiwis in 2017 at the last World Cup, so... We tend to forget about that.
We know what Tonga did. It's so exciting for the game, and the more support we can give the Pacific nations and that, the better for rugby league.
Yep, I agree. You know what I'd like to see one day would be a Pacific Nations Alliance just made up to play Australia, New Zealand and England, made up of Tongans, Samoans, sort of like what the Lions do in rugby, you know, Fijians, and maybe just have one-off tests against Australia or in New Zealand. I reckon that would add great interest to the game in this part of the world.
Oh, it certainly would, and it just helps create, you know, more opportunities and going forward. But, you know, yeah, like you say, it'd be like a Lions concept. That, but what is happening at the moment is Tonga and Fiji are actually holding the flag up on their own. You know, which...
And probably followed by Papua New Guinea and Samoa. I think that... you know, for all the talent they've got, they've seemed to struggle a bit. But, you know, you have a look at it, Fiji, then you've got some good players from the Cook Islands as well too. So I reckon it'd be an interesting concept. Maybe when Peter Valandis comes over here or someone from International Rugby League, maybe I can get him into the studio and we can maybe pass that concept on to him.
I think he'd have a look at it. He's certainly, you know, quite a proactive chief of sport, and you know what he's done in the racing. You know, the Sydney scene is just unbelievable. With the Everest and you know the autumn carnivals and the spring carnivals are just through the roof. And he, you know, pretty much saved the game last year. So he's a smart man, and he'll jump on ways to sort of highlight the game and. You know, and I'm sure on top of his list, you know, aside from the NRL, is getting the international, you know, game up and running at its full potential.
Yep. On that note, I better leave you. I've got a couple of guests screaming to get back on the line. The lines are flashing. So, okay, Blue, we'll love you and leave you. Have a great rest of Easter Monday, and we'll catch up next Monday, mate.
Beauty, Piggy. Catch you later. Mate.
That was Blue McLennan. Next up, we'll have Noel Barclay and Ricardo Ball. Oh, Welcome, everyone, back to the Sports Review. Well, our usual football, our part-time football correspondent and social sports commentator texted me this morning to say that he had the flu. And I thought, yep, here we go again. What's it? I bet you anything he recovers to get down to Bond Street Bar in Wellington to have a few beverages, but I won't degrade him when he's not here to defend himself. But instead, I've got a bit of a special show for the next 10 to 12 minutes. We're going to have two blokes that really know their football. One is former All-White Noel Barclay, and the other is former host of the World of Football on the which was the old TAB radio, Ricardo Ball, one of the real good blokes in our industry. Good afternoon, Ricardo, and good afternoon to Noel.
How are we doing, mate? How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, good, good. Okay, well, we might as well rip into the EPL. All over bar the singing for Manchester City, but a couple of upsets there. West Brom 5-2 over Chelsea. Spurs had a draw at Newcastle. But when we look at these four spots, five teams are competing for four spots. We're talking about Chelsea, Spurs, Liverpool, West Ham still in there, and so are Everton. What are some of your thoughts on the EPL over the weekend, gentlemen?
I guess Ricardo and I are probably in the same boat after watching Man United battle away this morning.
Okay. We won positive stuff. No, it's all positive. Let's speak positively. It was a win, yeah, even though it was against Brighton.
Ricardo's probably more positive about Man United than I am. I just find it really difficult at the minute. But it was a good win at the end of the day, and I think that guarantees that Man United are out of the mix of the third and fourth place. I think we'd need to lose three times. It was interesting to see that Spurs didn't grab the opportunity. You would have thought that they would have gone there and won. And again, Liverpool for me yesterday looked like they were sort of getting back into the groove. I sort of feel as if Liverpool, even though they're sitting in sixth, and West Ham is sort of a game in hand, I still think Liverpool are the big threat. The big thing for me is looking at Leicester City, who've still got so many players out injured. Their last three games is Man United, Chelsea and Tottenham, which is a horror run-in for them. And I sort of got a funny feeling that they might be the ones that miss out.
Ricardo?
It was an interesting weekend, all right. And, you know, the thing that really stood out for me was Chelsea losing 5-2. I mean, Noel's probably better to comment on this, having been involved in set-ups, to play at the top echelon of the game. But I would have thought, you know, under a coach like Tuchel, who's done so well since he's gone in there, but one of the things you do work on the training field is what happens if we lose a man. But as soon as they lost a man, they looked all at sea. And, you know, they conceded, if they'd lost 5-2 to Manchester United or Liverpool after going down to 10 men, you could be aware of that because, you know, they're teams that score goals and have a big attacking threat. But to lose 5 goals to West Brom under Sam Allardyce, who we all know is the most pragmatic of managers, that is a really, really stark result for me. And I think a worrying one for Chelsea because, I mean, they've been going so well for so long under Tuchel, but that really stands out to me as, boy, I don't know what they're going to do in the transfer window, but boy, they need to do something. I mean, I was never convinced that Thiago Silva was the answer when they brought him in and spent all that money on wingers and number 10s, but maybe he was, because without him, they look like a Sunday league side at the back.
Yeah, I mean, they were terrible, and I think with Silva going off, it actually really exposed Rudiger, who obviously wasn't one of Frank Lampard's first picks anyway, and I've always thought that he's the weak link, both for Germany and for Chelsea, and unfortunately, you know, he looked a bit exposed. And in fact, those goals, I mean, they got five, they actually could have got more. They missed quite a few chances. So it was a real surprise to see them just collapse like that, considering I don't think they'd let a goal in at home. So, yeah, a bit of a weird... I mean, I think I'm going to put that one down to just a bit one of those days, because I still think that Chelsea, with 11 men and looking at the run-in, are going to somehow sneak into that four. Timo Werner will score one of these days and show the people that he's a good, a decent player. I don't think he's a fantastic player. but he's definitely a goal scorer, and by God, they need him to come right now. So I see it as a blip, Ricardo. I'm not so sure they could lose 5-2 again. They've certainly got to shore their defence up in the next couple of games, and Thomas Tuchel will be very wary of Wilman Ivanovic from afar.
You would have to be with Ivanovic because he's gone from more coaches than Richie's coach line, to be honest with you, Jeff. So. Yeah. Just on one thing I have been following is the Championship, which is the division below. Now, it seems that Norwich and Watford, they seem to be safe. They're heading towards promotion. But there seems to be a bit of a scramble for some of the places for the playoffs, for the million-pound game, as they call it, the several million-pound games, where you've got Brentford, Swansea, who are pretty much safe. Brentford, who has Winston Reid on loan. But then you've got Barnsley, Reading, Bournemouth, Cardiff and Middlesbrough, all with a chance to make in that playoff. And the reason I brought this up, because we see a lot of the Championship on Sky TV.
Yeah, I mean, the Brentford thing has got me interested in that. Since Winston went there, you sort of been taking a bit more interest in them. They haven't. He's came in and did really well. Unfortunately, their results, they've had three draws, and that hasn't helped them. But I mean, it almost goes all the way down to even Stoke City, who are 11th, seven games to go. I mean, anybody there in that group. Obviously, Watford and Norwich well gone. I'd love to see Brentford get promoted. They were unlucky last year. They've been one of the top teams this year. They scored 40 goals, and 66 goals they've scored. So I'd love to see them go up. It would be a shame if they missed out again in a playoff. It would just be too hard to handle.
Ricardo?
Who wants it the most? Because there's a lot of teams that have been there thereabouts for a while that are dropping points this time. Centre. I mean, Reading were leading the Championship just around Christmas time. They were leading the Championship. They've fallen away. Swansea, who a lot of people had picked to finish second for Watford, but they're under there. They've lost their last three. You've got a team like Barnsley, who I think everybody thought would do well to avoid relegation, are there. So that's a real mix-up. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. And, you know, Brentford, I think, would be a great story, as Don's alluded to. I mean, Winston Reid there. Obviously, there's a bit of a Kiwi connection at Brentford, you know, going back with that other all-whites play at Brentford too, if you go back a few years. So it'd be great to see them go up. But it's not done and dusted. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like Bournemouth sneak in there. They just seem to be finding their form about now, and they've still got a lot of players with Premier League experience, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them sneak in there. But Mick McCarthy's doing a good job at Cardiff as well, so I think they should probably make it. But you know, the likes of Swansea and Reading, they need to really shore things up, and just a bit of a connection back to New Zealand as well with Reading is that the coach of or the manager of Reading at the moment is the guy that won the Under 20 World Cup here. In charge of Serbia, so there's a little bit of connection there too.
Wow. And of course, you were saying about the Brentford connection, of course, that goes way back to Brian Turner playing for them back in the 70s.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right.
Sure
did.
Yeah. Hey, just one thing. We might as well. The Phoenix got a tough one at Melbourne City. Of course, Melbourne City, we talk about a Kiwi connection. Des Buckingham, who I felt was, probably wasn't treated well by New Zealand football, as the assistant coach of Melbourne City. Now, Phoenix really do need to have a really good win. Stephen Taylor's out. They've had a number of injuries. What's your picks for tonight, boys?
They got no chance. I'm sorry.
Yep.
They got no chance for me. Melbourne City, for me, are the best team in the competition. Yeah, they lost the other night, but they're just class all around the pitch. And, you know, without Taylor, and I think Pisco is also out, or supposed to be out, so I just can't see how on earth they could win. Of course, I'd want them to win, but Melbourne, with McLaren up top, just too good.
Ricardo?
Yeah, I agree with Noel. I can't see the Phoenix getting anything out of the game, to be honest. I mean, The defence looked shaky when we had Luke Devere there. Then he got injured, of course, and we got Stephen Taylor back, which was great. But with him out and no Devere there, I fear for us in the middle, at the back, and a guy like McLaren, as Noel said, is on that. I'd jump up the TAB now and back him to be a goal scorer. In fact, I might even jump on him with a spare tenner to maybe net a hat trick tonight.
That actually doesn't sound like a bad bet, Ricardo. Of course, Des Buckingham, a guy I thought was a potential future All Whites coach, and maybe one day we may get him back involved in New Zealand football. Whether Talay goes, whether he could come back as coach of the Phoenix, I'd really like to see him back because I really like his coaching ethos there.
Yeah, there's certainly every possibility that Talay will end up in Melbourne. I mean, you'd have to think that's possible, and there's going to be a revolution there, and he might take some players with him. And Dad's had a good relationship with the Phoenix. I know the New Zealand football relationship was different, but he's well thought of in Wellington, and you know he's got his badges and he's earning his stripes. And you know, if the A League obviously clearly got some challenges ahead, like all Australian sports. You know, if they can keep it going, maybe post COVID, I mean, Wellington can get back to playing games in Wellington and bring Dez home. There'll be nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Anyway, I have to say, it's great having both of yous on. It's great to have people that actually can speak a bit of football. My usual football correspondent goes on to all sorts of tangents, as you both know him very, very well. So it's really been great having both of yous on here today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And Ricardo?
Yeah, my pleasure, mate. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no worries. I'll tell McNeese that he's got to pull up his socks and improve. He'll probably just ignore me as he always does. Guys, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your Easter. I better keep moving on.
Okay. Likewise. Sounds good.
Cheers, thanks. That was awesome. Those two awesome, mate. Absolutely awesome. Really enjoyed that. Fantastic. Somebody talking about football, not America's Cup shorts. Anyway, we'll just play a bit of music and we'll have Starsky and Hutch next.
Thank you. can't stop singing, just keep singing to me. Keep on singing, never stop singing, just keep singing to me. Keep on singing, never stop singing, just keep singing to me.
Okay, everyone, sorry about this. We're running a bit late. I've been trying to get hold of Mr. Starsky, Mr. Mackay, but he's failed to answer his phone. So, and I've tried to send him a text. I might try and send him another text. But anyway, we might as well get into it. There's going to be myself, my good friend, the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Mr. Summerfield. Hope you've had a great Easter. Thanks for coming on this Easter.
No, it's my pleasure. I'm honoured to be here now that you're a national star after seeing you on Seven Sharp, mate.
Well,
I'm surprised you're still talking to us minions.
Well, yeah, I know. I've been described as many things. Some of them haven't been. Some of the texts and I've received haven't been quite comical. Especially when it comes to the camera use, it does add a lot to your body, Sean. And of course, I looked and I thought, ooh, definitely got to hit the gym, mate, if I'm going to have this fantastic multimedia amateur broadcasting career. And if I want to enter the realms of, say, yourself, Mr. Mackay, all those great broadcasters, legends, people I've looked up to as a child.
Oh, you'll go a long way. But we're washed up now, mate. It's all good. So now we just get to come and talk crap about sport, which is just an absolute pleasure.
It is indeed. Well, I'm just going to say, we haven't heard from Mr. Mackay, and I'm just going to try and give him one more text.
You're texting, I'll just start talking about some sport.
Yeah,
and,
why not?
So what Eamon does, to listeners, is he sends us some discussion points, and he tries to think of me and suggest motorsport. And obviously Shane Van Gisbergen winning yesterday at Bathurst in the endurance race, which it's a novel itself, not the first time Tillerman's the outright lap record in a GT car around the track in a race. So there's no there, but what's interesting about this win is that's a sports car win. He's cleaned up in all the, in fact, he hasn't lost a supercar race since Bathurst last year. He also won the New Zealand Grand Prix in the Toyota Racing Series car, open wheeler, and he also won the Battle of Jack's Ridge rally sprint event. So he's actually 100% success rate in four completely different disciplines of motorsport over the last 4 or 5 months, which is actually quite gobsmacking. It shows he is the driver's driver. Whether you're a fan or not, you can't deny what he's just turned up there and how he just continues to deliver over and over again. And I think it's just something quite remarkable.
Certainly is, Sean. And, you know, this guy has just been, he has this, the last 6 months, just been brilliant, hasn't he? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And let's be honest, for the last 3 years, I mean, old Scott McLaughlin's given him an absolute bloody nose in the supercars. And so, he's Scott's gone. It's a clear way now, and it shows that those two are just a class above everyone else. And it's not like...
Yep. Are you there, Sean?
Field is this. Are you there, mate?
Yeah, I'm still there, mate. I'm still there. We're having... had a few issues with So, somebody's just shut down the network here. Great. And that's why nobody can get hold of me.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
No, I was just going to say that he's, you know, the argue that the current field is as strong as it's ever been right across. I mean, there's some serious talent there. There's some amazing young drivers, Kazeki and that coming through. Just amazing. But I'm not just going on about this because of what happened to the Crusaders the other night. But I've got to say, Eamon, I think that was an awesome result, not just because I've spent many years living in Invercargill and Dunedin, and I have a real soft spot for the Highlanders, but, you know, that was a great result for the competition, and I think Scott Robertson summed it up. It'll be good for the Crusaders to be beaten like that and beaten in such a positive way.
It certainly will, and I think the big thing was that they played with spirit, mate. And like the party that wasn't at Tony Brown's place went to another location where Tony Brown said there's no more parties. Basically,
he's done exactly the right thing.
Yeah.
And, now, if you want to have all the perks of being like this, and the stuff I wouldn't talk about on the radio, but I know the lives these guys get to have. I know how hard they work, and I accept that. But there is some responsibility that comes with it, and you can't pick and choose and get paid for what you do and who you are, and then expect not to get noticed. And you know, I think it's fair enough to the writers that wrote about the story, and you know, stood up for those your older female neighbours who they're right, they don't have a voice, and they deserve the respect. And I think the way Tony Brown has dealt with it. And the way things went for the Highlanders is fantastic. And I think the thing about old Yummy, Tony Brown, is that he would have done that if any of the players, didn't matter who they were, if you broke the protocol for the team, you stand down. And I think that's absolute, he has to be respected for that. And when those players come back, mate, they're going to have to play pretty damn well because, by golly, that was a... And the Crusaders didn't lose. They were beaten.
They certainly were.
It was a great effort.
And I have to say, that now they're back in there, the Highlanders. People, they're now in there with a shot, and that's the thing about it is, with that result, I think it's great for the competition, and who knows what's going to happen this week, Sean. But one of the things I want to touch on is, I've got to hear, I don't know whether you've been following, and I've followed it a little bit, is the Silver Lake deal with New Zealand Rugby. $465 million, but there seems to be a debate between the Players' Union, which is represented by Rob Nichols, and the New Zealand Rugby, and they've had to bring in a mediator.
Yeah, it's funny, because this is for the commercial rights of rugby, you know, and rugby's interesting because for all the professionalism and big money that players and administrators, some of the professional union staff earn, it's still, the great part of the bulk of the game is amateur. You know, no one's making a real big fortune for playing provincial aside from the really big unions. And it only exists based on the input and the volunteers. And that's no different from a lot of sports. But this is for a sort of a separate arm. It's the commercial rights. And we don't hear much talked about this, but I was part of your conversation once, a bloke who sells a product and it's has the All Black branding. And it's sold in Japan. And they get 20% of his turnover, of his gross on what's sold, because he used the All Black branding, and he's worked out it's worth it. So it just shows you, there's just one little product, by the way, the value of this team. But it's got to be run properly to be properly, I guess, to get the most out of it, if you like. This isn't changing the way rugby works. This is the commercial rights side of from what I work out, which is quite incredible. They value the commercial rights of the All Blacks or New Zealand rugby. They say New Zealand rugby, Eamon, it's the All Blacks.
Yeah,
at $3.1 billion, which is just gobsmacking. It really is. And I think they need this too because, you know, aside from the money they got, you got to remember that South Africa was the big sort of money spinner for Sanzar,
and that's where a lot of the money came from with that deal. And with South Africa sort of leaning away, I think this really exposes New Zealand, because we can't really depend on Australia. It's a fourth-tier sport now. Yeah. So that they have to do something. And, you know, that these, you look at the teams that these guys work with, the sporting organisations, you know, Man City, teams like that, I don't think they're idiots, but there's one thing I'll add in there. They're there to make money. They're not there for the good of the game. The good of the game is in their interest, because it will make them more money, but they're not there to help the next generation of All Blacks or Black Ferns come through. They're not there to do that. They're there to make money. They're investing in the commercial rights of this team, and that's a very important thing to consider here, that this is, they need their money at the end. This isn't a donation, and that's maybe where some people are anxious. Maybe the players are thinking, hang on, we're the ones with the profile here. What's in it for the players? They want to be getting more. And I hope that's not the case, that people are, you know, sniffing that there's money being chucked around and they want a share of it. No. In the end, players, they entertain, they, you know, they but they get paid pretty damn well, the top players, for what they do. And, you know, I hope that no one in any way gets greedy. But I'm sure the due diligence has been done.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is, I really think we need the money, where New Zealand rugby is on probably breaking point. And it's, and hopefully the money does trickle down to your clubs, because at the end of the day, as being involved in club rugby as I am, I go out to clubs, like I'm involved with a club that we do okay. We're not at the same levels as the Ponsonby, the Grammars or the University when it comes to financial, but we do okay for what we've got. But then you go to other clubs and it's basically, it's, you can just see that they're ready to fold over. Now, Sean, I'll tell you something.
Look, hey, just on the club side, there's a couple of things there that, I mean, there's a lot of the society's changed a bit, the drink driving. There's a lot of things that used to happen at clubs. And I grew up at Marist Club in Christchurch and Invercargill, right? So that's changed. But I go past the Suburbs Club in Auckland and I see massive crowds there at the games. I see what they're doing with the community. I know what Eden Club does. I think the clubs are actually doing some amazing things. For me, the problem, and this is why I spotted in the 90s, you had All Blacks, provincial clubs. Then they squeezed Super Rugby in, and that pushed provincial rugby down. So, you know, you end up taking that away, and then you make it all about the big names. They ignored the people that had season tickets and always went. They just thought, bugger it, I'll watch it on Sky now. It's better to watch. I don't need to see a band playing before a game, having T-shirts put into the crowd. So everything was a massive change as to what rugby was. And the people that went every week, went to all the club games, they, I think, got alienated. There wasn't enough of these new people that would consistently go along. So I think there's a whole lot of problems there. But that's just my opinion.
Yep, and I have to say, I've probably got an opinion that I'm all for club rugby, and I always will. I'll never change my mind. Well, Sean, thank you so much for coming in the last minute.
It's all good, bro.
Yeah, I was just trying... I don't know what happened with young Mackay. I'll give him a bit of call. He owes us he might owe both of us a bit of a drink, I think, Mr. Summerfield. But he did offer to come on and specifically said he wanted to be Starsky and wanted you to be Hutch. I don't know who I was, Huggy Bear or something. but on that note, you have a great Easter. And to all the listeners, cheers, Sean. And to all the listeners, thank you very much for listening. Have a great Easter.